So if I ask this question, do you have a conversation with yourself inside your head? The answer would probably be yes. We all talk to ourselves, we have a conversation with ourselves, and we tend to be quite comfortable with our own conversations. Once you bring somebody else in, so one other person or 10 other people or 10,000 people, something happens. Now, some people are really uncomfortable with chatting one-on-one with other people, and some people would rather die than chat to 10,000 people at a time. So based on what you've shared with me so far for this session, it seems that we seem reasonably comfortable with the one-on-one chats. We're reasonably comfortable with up to about 25, 30 people. Some of you are more than that. And for most of us, we probably haven't chatted to that 10,000 people. So the first question I've got is this. I've been doing chatting with people, more than one person at a time, because I used to be involved a lot with my church group and my school group as I was growing up. So I've been doing this for a really long time, over 40 years. And I've made the most ridiculous, terrible mistakes. I've offended people, hurt people, made people angry. I've said some really stupid things, and I've made some really dumb mistakes. So I'm going to share all of those with you so that you don't put yourself in the same position as me. The flip side of that is I've had the privilege of chatting to a large number of people or chatting with a large number of people, and I have no challenge with it. I don't feel uncomfortable or not confident. However, every single time that I chat with either you guys tonight, so a group of people who are passionate about health and fitness, or a large group of people who don't know me, I get excited. And I'm hoping that you'll take that on board, that if you've got something really important to say, or you've got something that you want to share with the world, or you've got something that you think will add value to the world, ideally you would get nervous. You'd get goosebumps, you'd get a dry mouth, you'd get an increased heart rate, all the things that go along with what most people would call stress. As you know, in our organization, we don't say the word stress, we say excitement. So if you're not getting excited about having a chat with either one person in a personal relationship, so if you're in a one-on-one relationship with somebody that you really care about, you'd want to be getting excited about that conversation because you really care about them. And if you're going to be sharing information with a group of people, then you want to get excited about that as well because you've got something to share. So what I'm asking you to consider is these simple questions before you open your mouth to speak. And you've heard me share this many, many times before, is that regardless of what you've got to say, people don't really care what you know unless they know that you care. So the question is, why are you opening your mouth to speak? And that's the ultimate question. What have I got to say that's important, and will it add value to people's lives? Regardless of my in-depth knowledge, regardless of my scientific, in-depth technical understanding of anatomy and physiology, regardless of how successful I am in my life, ultimately, am I sharing this information because I really care about the one person that I'm going to be chatting with, or the 10,000 plus people I'm going to be chatting with? Because no one really cares how much I know unless they know that I care. So that's the first really important thing to consider. Why am I opening my mouth to speak? Then if I take you through this process, and this is really just a single question process, which is, before I open my mouth to speak, there's five quick things to consider. And you have to consider them really fast because obviously we speak really, there's times when we have to speak fairly quickly. So why am I speaking? What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? When is this, is this the right time for me to speak, or is there a better time? And who am I actually chatting with? So if you quickly run through those five things in your head and do it real quickly with me. So why am I going to speak is number one. What am I actually going to say? How am I going to say it? Is this the right time for me to say it? And I really need to consider that at this minute. And who am I actually going to be chatting with? And if you take your headspace through that process, if you can get into the conscious competence of why am I going to open my mouth? What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? Is this the right time to say it? And who am I actually chatting with? And if you can take yourself through that process, it puts you into consciousness of, rather than just dribble coming out your mouth or stuff coming out your mouth, you're actually considering carefully what you're going to say. So the first thing and the most important, and I'm just sharing with you a toolbox. This is not my stuff. This is stuff that's been shared with me over the last 40 years. And it's also a gathering of all the stupid things I've done. So at 18, for example, when I thought I knew everything, just ask me. And I used to talk all the time because I think I love the sound of my own voice. And I thought I was intelligent and there was gas and stuff coming out my mouth in the shape of words or sounded like words. But I never used to ask myself, Rowie, why are you speaking? What are you going to say and why are you going to say it? So in a conscious headspace, and all I can share with you after being on the planet for over 50 years is often I don't get past why. Because if you ask yourself, why am I going to speak? Why are there words going to come out of my mouth? Often now I decide, well, there's no reason for me to say anything. I'm not going to say anything because the stuff that comes out of my mouth is stuff that I already know. So if I'm going to share my opinion, if I'm going to share advice, if I'm going to share what's going on in my headspace, what I think is important to me, that stuff coming out of my mouth is stuff that I already know. So how can I learn anything? And specifically, how can I learn anything about the other person if I'm doing the talking? So if I consciously go into my headspace and I'm about to speak, but I say to myself, Rowie, why are you going to say that? I often don't say anything. I do ask a question. So I don't say anything. I will now say, so what do you think? Or why is this important to you? Or what's your opinion? Or what was your experience in this situation? Or did you enjoy that particular movie, book, holiday experience with that person? So instead of delivering information, giving my opinion and sharing what I think is important, the number one thing is to always ask, why am I about to speak and why is it important for me to say something? The psychologists and psychiatrists will share with all of us that we often speak because we need to be heard. Because the world is not a listening place, because we don't live in a world where people seem genuinely interested in what we've got to say, it then creates an even more need or requirement for us to get our point across because nobody's listening. And they will share with you, the psychologists and psychiatrists, that the reason why Facebook and Instagram have become so popular is it's our way of speaking to the world and trying to get our point across. And it doesn't matter if nobody's listening, it just means we've got an opportunity to speak. So if you ask yourself, why am I speaking? And you say to yourself, well, I'm speaking because I need to get my opinion across. Well, just keep in mind, or would it be something to consider, that other people want to get their point across too? And why do you need to share your opinion or what you believe in or what you think is important to you? So the first most important thing is obviously why. Then if you go into, and this is in all conversations, so if you're coming tonight thinking that, oh, we're going to learn about how to speak to 10,000 people, the big takeaway from tonight and the big tool that I was given as a special gift is that chatting with one person is no different than chatting to 10,000, which is why I spent a bit of time on the questions for, okay, you feel comfortable chatting to 1, 2, 25, 50 people, but maybe not 10,000 people. But ultimately, there's no difference because once you put people into a group and say that's a group of people, you now take the care factor away. Ultimately, 10,000 people is just 10,000 individual people, which you would, all of us have all agreed that we would feel very comfortable having a one-on-one conversation with each one of those people. So what difference does it make that they all happen to be sitting at the same place at the same time and they may be looking at you? But ultimately, they're individual people. And if you can get over yourself, because that's the biggest thing when you chat in front of a group, is they're all looking at me and what if they don't like me and what if they don't like what I'm wearing and what if they disagree with what I've got to say? And we go through all this stuff and it's all about us. And that was the other big tool that I was taught, Rowie, it's not about you. No one cares about you. People only care what you can do for them. So the information that you deliver, which goes directly back to the why am I chatting, has got nothing to do with what you're wearing or what your hair looks like or what your depth of knowledge is. It's all about what you can do for those people. So when you open up your mouth to speak, whether it's to one person or 10,000 plus, and it doesn't matter, the question is, will my words add value to this person's life? Not this big group of 10,000, but will there be somebody here that will get benefit from what I've got to say? And if the answer's no, then the suggestion is shut up and sit down. And I'll just quickly quote my dad, who was awesome. He used to make people laugh, and he was really, really good at chatting in public because he used to do that, just chat. And he taught me this very early on in my life. He said, if you can't stand up and speak without notes, sit down and shut up. And that didn't come to me as advice. It came pretty much as an order. Because what he was sharing with me is that if you have to read, if you haven't taken the time to plan and prepare what you're going to say and be able to have a chat with people, then sit down and be quiet. Because ultimately, what we remember from a conversation is not this big, long conversation. Tonight, you'll take away probably one main point, and it'll be the point that's the most important thing to you. So it doesn't matter how many words we use. It's how we make people feel after they walk away from us. So how will I add value to people's lives? And the next one is, if I'm going to say something about my life, what's going on in my life, will it add value? And this is particularly for one-on-one conversations. And now I'm going to take it a step further for texting and emailing and Instagramming and Facebooking and all of those social media communications. If you tell somebody that you're sick or you're injured or you're tired or you're broke or you're unhappy or you've got a challenge in your life or you hate your boss or you're getting a divorce or all of the things that the general public seems to be really happy to share, what value am I adding to somebody's life? And I'll use K-Man as an example because you've all met him and know him. He's always awesome. Now, sometimes he'll get up from sitting at his desk and he's limping so badly that he can hardly walk. And I'll say, hey, go in there, champion. And he'll go, I'm awesome. Now, he's obviously got some kind of injury or challenge with his foot or his leg or whatever. But it's going to add no value to my life for him to share with me that he's got a sore foot. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is because whether you're chatting to one person or 10,000, unless what's happening in your life can show people a journey on how to overcome that particular challenge, then go back to the question, which is why am I talking? And if you think that telling people that you're sick or you're injured or you're tired or you're broke or you're unhappy or having challenges in your relationship is going to add value to their life, then please consider that it may not be. Imagine if every person that you come in contact with, all they share with you is that they're sick and they're tired and they're injured and they're broken, they're unhappy and they're going through a divorce and they hate their job. You probably wouldn't enjoy the conversation, I wouldn't imagine. So as you go to open your mouth to chat to anybody, please consider, is what I'm going to say right now going to add value to their life? And if me telling them that I've got a sore foot is going to add value to their life, I better have a real good reason to why that would add value. The next thing is, as I open my mouth to speak, how will I make this person feel? Because I go back to, people don't remember what we say. Tonight you'll remember maybe half a dozen words. You'll remember how either you feel after you leave a positive, happy group of people, or how you feel by something that was added to your life that will add value. So that's where criticizing and gossiping and being nasty and being negative doesn't seem to fit into, will I add value to people's lives? Because if I'm nasty or negative or gossiping or criticizing, how will that make that person feel? And if you are conscious of that, imagine a world where we only open our mouth to speak, to talk, to have gas coming out of our mouth in the sound of words. If the only reason we speak is to add value and to make people feel good. Imagine if we lived a life like that and everybody only spoke for those reasons. Then if you ask yourself, why am I giving my opinion or advice or why am I giving information, then the question would be, will this add value to people's lives? Will it make their life better? Will it make their life happier? Will it help them do something in their life easier? Will it add value? And it always goes back to the value. So if you're about to deliver information to all the people in this particular group, will it add value to their life? And that's for me, the only reason to speak. And that's why I was really interested in why everybody was here, because ultimately tonight's about a whole heap of mistakes that I've made and stupid things that I've done. And I never want you to make those same mistakes. So if I can share with you some of those mistakes and some of the really cool things that have worked for me, then it could add value to your ability to be able to communicate more effectively. And that would be the only reason I'm here. The next question I always ask myself, and I'm asking you to do the same, is if I'm going to speak, what will I be learning? So if I'm going to open my mouth to speak, can I or do I have the capability of learning anything? And often, if you've got something really great to say, so I'll share with you for tonight, for example, because I do a lot of professional speaking where I get paid to chat and I go and talk to lots of groups of people, I will learn more from tonight than you do, because when you have to share information with other people in a learning fashion, you tend to learn more yourself. So if you're chatting and you're sharing information, what can you learn? If it's great information, it might be a reiteration of what you need to keep reapplying into your own life. So ultimately, can you speak and learn at the same time? It's probably the best way to learn. I share that with all of you as MAC students. The best way to learn your anatomy and physiology and exercise programming and how to run a business is to share that information with other people, because as you share it out of your mouth, obviously you'll learn more yourself and you'll learn better ways to deliver that information. And then the last question there is, if I ask questions, how much more will I know about this particular group of people or this person? And even if you're chatting to a group of 10,000 people, if you ask questions of the audience, it forces them to think of the answer. So if I say to you, you should do this, versus what do you think this would do or how it would add value to your life, it may be that you are more likely to take that information on board because you're asking yourself the question. So if you think about what you're going to say and why you're going to say it, will it make you better at communicating, is probably a better question to ask than you should think about what you're going to say before you speak, because you're more likely to answer a question than you are to listen to a statement. So I'm going to say that again. Is it more likely that we would listen to a statement versus think about a question that somebody asked us? So if you can put that into your toolbox, is that how can I turn this statement into a question so that people will be more likely to ask themselves questions, just like I did now? How can I turn this into a question? So once we've got the why I'm going to chat, I now know that it's good for me to open my mouth because I'm going to be adding value to people's lives. The next question, of course, is what am I actually going to say? And a question that I'm asking myself more and more every single day, and if you could consider it as well, is what am I going to say versus what questions am I going to ask? And those of you that have been observing, if you have a look, and I only did it myself today, if the original Max Bites, because I've been going out now for almost a year, the original Max Bites were a lot of statements. But what I'm aiming to do every day now is to send out a series of questions so that when you open up your Max Bite, you have to ask yourself that question versus, oh, this is just a statement that's been made by somebody else. And the question there would be, if you are asked a question, are you more likely to think about it versus being given a statement? So something to consciously consider is, what am I going to say versus what questions can I ask? Now, the next thing about what am I going to say, this is probably the biggest toolbox lesson that I've ever learned. And I'll ask you this question. If you were going to and I'll use sport, for example, because you all know my appreciation for Cristiano Ronaldo. If you were going to learn about how to play soccer, would you prefer to go to a seminar by somebody that is in the local community soccer team, or somebody who's been voted 5 times in a row the best soccer player in the world? Another question. If you were going to a wealth creation seminar, would you prefer to go to a seminar by a teenager that's inherited their money from their parents, or somebody that has created wealth from nothing? So they came from a really poor country or a really poor, bad situation. They created massive wealth for themselves. And that's the really important question about when you open your mouth to speak, what am I going to say? What's the journey? So nobody really wants to know how successful we are or how popular we are or how good we are at what we do. People want to know that we've been on a journey. And I'll use weight loss as an example for those of us in the fitness profession. It's not much fun to listen to somebody who's been the same weight, the same size, and the same energy level their whole life to talk about how to lose weight and what it feels like to be overweight, because we've got absolutely no idea. But if somebody's been overweight, they've lost weight, and now they're in great shape and they've kept that weight off for 20 years, now I can take you through the journey. So this is where I was, this is how I did it, and this is where I am now. And I'm also going to ask you this. Let's use weight loss as an example. Somebody loses 30, 40, 50 kilos. They keep it off for a year and then they put it all back on again, versus somebody that loses 30, 40, 50 kilos, They keep it off for 10, 20 years. That journey is obviously more relevant to somebody who's serious about weight loss. So what I'm asking you to do is, how do you relate what you're about to share with a group of people, whether it's one person or a large number? How can you make that journey relevant so they can say those three magic questions, which are, or those three magic statements, which are, oh my God, that's me. She's talking to me. He understands me. If he can do it, I can do it. So that's the journey. When you're planning what you're going to say, please make sure that people can relate to that journey, because otherwise you're just a person that's bringing words out your mouth. Then the next one, and I'm sure this was all in everybody's toolbox already, is, have I researched, have I planned, and have I prepared what I'm going to say? So now we're actually going into the nitty-gritty of what you're going to say. And often we're scared to chat because what if somebody disagrees with me? What if they think I'm wrong? What if they've got a different opinion to me? And there's two ways to prepare for that. One is that you've done all of your preparation and your research and you've got the facts and you know exactly what you're talking about. It is the truth. But the great tool I would put into my toolbox, and it was given to me as a special gift, is aim to chat about things. And notice I didn't say preach or teach or lecture or present. Chat about things that nobody can argue about. Because once you've got people arguing or disagreeing or being angry about what you said, how likely are they to take on what you've got to say? So you've annoyed somebody, they're angry with you, they disagree with you, or they're judging you on something. What's the likelihood now of them wanting to listen to anything else that you've got to say? Or is there a high likelihood that they're going to disagree now with everything you've got to say because you said something to annoy them? So, for example, if you were chatting to a group of people and you said, I don't believe in God, everything you say after that, the people that do believe in God are not going to listen to you, or it's unlikely that they're going to listen to you because you've either offended them or they want to disagree with you now because they want to prove that there is a God. And I'm just using that as a simple example. So either be really highly research planned and prepared so that if there are people that disagree with you, you've got all the facts to back you up. Or my toolbox suggestion is that aim to share with people what they can't argue about. So I use this great example as fitness professionals. If you were asked to chat tomorrow at a medical conference to doctors, orthopedic surgeons, nutritionists, other fitness professionals, cardiologists, and you had to do a talk about exercise, what are five things that you could chat about, three things that you could chat about that nobody would disagree with? Because there's certainly 1,000 things you could chat about that everybody would disagree with, whether they slightly disagree with you or completely disagree with you. But is there anything you could actually chat about that nobody would disagree with? And if you could pop that into your toolbox and think about that before you decide, what am I going to say? What can I give to this group of people or this conversation that I'm in right now that isn't going to cause controversy, isn't going to make anybody angry, but it's going to get people thinking and considering, which is another reason why questions could obviously work better than statements, perhaps. So the next thing to question is what I'm about to say, is it a fact or is it somebody else's opinion? And I'm going to give you a classic example of this. Some of you may have heard that Michael Jordan was thrown off his high school basketball team because he didn't have enough skill. And that story is often used as an example of a never give up attitude, as a person who was resilient. He was thrown off his high school basketball team, but he went on to become the best basketball player in the world. Well, is that a fact, or is that just somebody else's opinion, or is that just Chinese whispers? And I did the research on that simply because, obviously, I love sport, I love Michael Jordan, I love what he stands for. Now, according to Michael Jordan, not anybody else's opinion, according to Michael Jordan, in his high school, there was two basketball teams. There was an A-grade team and a B-grade team. The A-grade team had a stack of really good players, including Michael Jordan. The B grade team didn't have very many good players. So he wasn't dropped from the A grade team. He was put onto the B grade team because of his leadership skills and his high level of skill to bring up the skill level of the B grade team. Now, technically you could say, yes, he was dropped from the A grade side, but that's not actually what happened. But people are very happy to pass on that story, pass on that opinion. And it's so funny because since I've done the research, I've heard so many professional speakers now quote that story. So what I'm asking you to do or to pop into your toolbox is, would it be a good idea to chase the fact yourself versus just repeat somebody else's opinion? And that's one of the things about the Max program, when people say, oh, you know, I'm not doing sit-ups because K-Man said they're stupid. Well, ultimately, that's an irrelevant statement, because what K-Man thinks is not relevant. What you believe and what you know and what you understand to be fact is where you want that information to be coming from. So if somebody says, why do you do that? And you say, oh, because I learned that in my course, versus I understand that fat loss can only happen when catecholamines open up the door to the fat cell, let fat out into the bloodstream and you can oxidize it off, is a different answer. So I'm asking you to find the facts rather than use somebody else's opinion. And would that give you better credibility as a speaker or as somebody who's chatting with groups of people? Then when it comes down to what am I actually going to say? And if the overall of tonight was, Rowie, why did we have this Max Chat? Here's what I will share with you. The reason tonight's Max Chat is happening is that if you can communicate really effectively with other people, is it more likely that you'll be a successful fitness professional? And that's really the only question to take away from tonight. So ultimately, in any chat, whether it's with one person or up to 10,000 plus, is we usually only remember about three things. So tonight you'll take away between one and three things. So the question to ask is this: am I better off making three main points, or am I better off making one main point and illustrating it in three simple ways? So people walk away and say, I went to Max Chat tonight and I now understand it's really important for me to be a great communicator because that'll make me a great fitness professional. Versus Rowie's three main points were, and as soon as you get past one, it becomes a little bit harder to remember. So if you're going to pick three main points, the suggestion by the experts at speaking, at conversing, at communication, will share with you that for each of those points, you would need to have three different ways of explaining it. So you could use a statistic, you could use a fact, you could use an analogy, you could use a story. And that way, you're covering everybody's learning styles. You could have pictures, you could have audio, you could have music, you could have people do something. So you're hitting on their kinesthetic, their listening skills, their watching skills. You might get them to eat something or smell something. So now they're more likely to take all of that information in. But here's my question. If I want to make one main point and I got people to see it, I got them to hear it, I got them to taste it, I got them to smell it, and I got them to feel it, would they be more likely to remember that one main point? So the only question I'm asking is this: when you're having a chat with people, is it better to make three main points and use three examples of each one of those points? Or is it better to make one main point and share it in three simple ways? And perhaps you've already answered that question in your own headspace. This is how professional speakers can take a chat from a 3-minute chat to a 3-day chat. And I'll just use that as an example. There are many professional speakers who deliver the same information over 3 days, and they can deliver it in 3 hours, they can deliver it in 30 minutes, or they can deliver it in 3 minutes, because they just break that main point up into lots of different learning experiences. So I'll also share with you from the experts that it's much easier to chat for 3 days than it is to chat for 3 minutes. For example, I always send you an overview of the Max Chat. It's much harder to do a 10-15 minute overview of Max Chat than it is to do a 30 or 40 or 50 minute Max Chat. So if you want to get technically good at this, the idea is to pick what your main point is and then use as many ways as possible to get that main point across. So if we go back to, why am I chatting? Have you got a good reason to open your mouth? What am I actually going to say? What journey am I going to take people on? Have I researched, planned, and prepared what I'm going to say? Do I know that it's fact? Am I ready for people to disagree with me? Or am I happy to chat about things that nobody's going to disagree with? Obviously, the next question is, how am I going to say it? And one of my favorite examples of that is, if your partner says to you, would you like to sleep with me tonight? I'll just use that as an example. And I say, no, I don't want to sleep with you tonight. Versus, no, I don't want to sleep with you tonight. Now, I said exactly the same thing, but they obviously have two completely different meanings. So when it comes down to, yes, I know why I'm going to open my mouth, yes, I know exactly what I'm going to say because I've studied and researched and planned and prepared it. Now it's how am I going to say it? And I'm sure that you've all had this experience where people have lectured and presented and evangelized and preached and taught, and you feel like it's a school teacher talking to you or a preacher at a church versus somebody that's just had a chat. And ultimately, for the how-to of your toolbox, and I'll just give you a really quick example of this. I asked the National Speakers Association of Australia, the president, to come and listen to one of my chats and give me feed forward. And he was sitting in my chat and he was taking a whole heap of notes. And I felt really proud of myself because here was the president of the National Speakers Association sitting in my chat taking notes. Because it's like a compliment when people are taking notes. Well, what he gave me at the end of my chat was 20 pages of feed forward. And I'll quote exactly what he said to you because I'm not sure if anybody that I know would cope with this kind of feed forward. He said to me, "Rowie, that was fucked." And that's it. I'm not swearing. That was his quote. He said, "Rowie, that was fucked." And he gave me 20 pages of all the reasons why my 1 hour chat was terrible. To cut a very long story short, I kept asking him to come back. So I worked on that 20 pages of feed forward and then I asked him to come again. And this time he gave me about 15 pages of feed forward. And then he came again and gave me about 10 pages. And over the course of the years, we've become really good friends. And I think that's because when he tells me I'm terrible, I don't sook and cry and carry on. I listen to what he's got to say and I implement it. And that's something that perhaps we could consider about feed forward, is that it obviously helps us grow. Now, to put all of that into perspective, the last time that he came to listen to me chat, I said, "So could you please give me some feed forward?" And I was ready for it. And he said to me, "Rowie, I can't give you feed forward because you just had a chat." And the reason I'm sharing that with you is that when you have a chat with somebody, nobody's looking at where you stand and how you hold your hands and your voice intonation and did you have good posture and all of the body language things that we talk about. So this is the how of a chat, is my voice intonation, my body language, my facial expressions, the way I held my body. But when you're having a chat with somebody and it's just a conversation, those things don't come into account. So if you, whether you're in front of one person or 10,000 or more people, if you're just having a chat, and I'll give you another side note for that, nobody wants you to be terrible. Jed, when you're on a cruise ship and you're talking about health and fitness to 300-400 people, nobody wants you to be really bad at speaking. If you're chatting to 10,000 people about health and fitness, nobody wants you to be bad. We all want you to be good. We all want you to be really confident and have and be really comfortable with what you're sharing. And ultimately, that's really easy if you're having a chat. So I'll go back to the question that I asked you at the start. Do you feel comfortable having a chat with one person? And if the answer is yes, then all you need to do is transfer that "have a chat" with the number of people that are in front of you. And ultimately, that comes from eye contact, from looking at people and learning their names. And to give you another great tool for your toolbox, and you've all seen me do this, but I'll share with you now why. When I'm doing a chat, I always like to be early or the first person there. Abdul usually beats me, but I like to be the first person there. And I always like to meet people as they come in the door. So if I've got a group of 300 year nines at a school, for example, you'll always see me at the front door and I learn people's names as they come in and I ask them questions. Tell me about you. What would you like to get out of my chat? And I'm going to share that again. Tell me about you and what would you like to get out of the chat today? And ideally, I aim to put them in places around the room. So I often walk people to their chair and I put them somewhere. Now, ideally, you want to put them in an eye range that you can see them, but also around the entire room. So you put one person on the left-hand side, one person in the middle, one person on the right-hand side, and aim to put people that you've chatted to within eye contact. Now, they like you because you've personally asked them questions, asked them about themselves, you've learnt their name. Now, what that means is during your chat, you can use their name and ask them questions. So you can say, "Jed, what do you think about that? Shayla, what do you think about that? Welcome, Saka, it's lovely to see you. Thank you for coming all the way from Christchurch." And when you're having that conversation while you're chatting, it becomes more of a chat. So can you pop that in your toolbox, whether you chat to one person or whether you chat to 10,000 people, learn people's names, ask them about themselves and include them in your chat as you're talking. And I'll give you another great example of that. We had a seminar at a health club in Melbourne and came in and was talking about single set training. And a guy stood up and heckled him. And I'm talking really heckled him. I think he said something like, "You're talking, what you're saying is complete bullshit," or something like that. It was a real angry man who stood up and heckled K-Man while he was talking, which for most people is probably one of the worst experiences. You never want somebody to get up and disagree with you in front of everybody. But of course, K-Man had spoken to the people in the group, and the lady sitting behind the man who stood up and heckled K-Man, who K-Man had chatted to at the beginning of the chat and found out all about her, she tapped that guy on the shoulder and she said, "Sit down, mate. I'm not here to listen to you. I'm here to listen to him." So K-Man didn't actually have to say anything because his audience was looking after him. Now, K-Man's quite capable of handling hecklers, of course. And the best way to do that, by the way, is just to agree with what they say. So if a person says to you, "You're full of shit," you just say, "Of course I am. What do I know? I'm just a human being." And never disagree with anybody publicly is what I'm sharing with you. Because obviously when you disagree with somebody, what happens? You just end up with two people arguing. So how are you going to say it? Simply put everything into creating an atmosphere for people that they feel like you're having a chat. And that's the big takeaway point from how am I going to say it. No lecturing, no presenting. If you've ever been to a presentation, you always think someone's going to sell you something at the end. And another quick side note for that is that's something I always share. If people think, particularly health and fitness, if I'm talking about health and fitness, people are scared that at the end of that chat, I'm going to try and sell them a book or a program or a powder or a pill or a multi-level marketing something. So I always bring that up at the start. I do that at school so the teachers aren't scared I'm going to try and sell the students something, I always say. And what I'm going to share with you is the five simple points on how to be healthy, fit and strong for the rest of your life. And I'm not going to try and sell you a book, a powder, a pill or a potion. And you can watch people, their little faces just relax and their body language relaxes. It's like, oh, thank God she's not going to try and sell me something. If you've ever been to one of those conferences, it's like you're waiting at the end for the sell to come. If you can take that away and people can just relax and enjoy the information, then they're more likely to enjoy everything that you've got to say. So obviously the chat versus preach and teach, you decide what you're going to do with your voice. Sometimes it's better to talk softly. When you talk softly, people have to lean forward. When you're talking really loud, people often block their ears. But if you talk softly or you whisper, sometimes it gets the point across even better. So if you want people to lean forward and maintain eye contact and listen, then it's probably a really good idea to speak really softly. I'm just going to go backwards one more. Obviously, if people are laughing, they're going to be listening, because they wouldn't be laughing if they weren't listening. So if you can get people to laugh, if you can tell jokes, if you can create emotion. Now, sometimes it's about the logic. You don't want people to be emotional. But ideally, think about this. If you are laughing, how will you feel when you leave? If the person's created emotion in you, so happiness or excitement or motivation or inspiration, how will you feel after you leave? And ultimately, remember, we don't remember what people say. We're going to remember the way they make us feel. So if you can get people to laugh, if you can get them to feel something, how will they feel when they leave? And that's the really important question. And if you can get people to laugh, obviously, that's the ultimate. And then the last point on how is, when you deliver information, is it important to deliver with passion and sincerity and integrity? And I would imagine if I asked that question, most of you would say yes. It's really important to be passionate, you should be sincere, and you should deliver information with integrity. The challenge is that I'm sure you've all listened to people chat who are really passionate and they're really sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. Many, many times I've been to lectures on health and fitness and the person's chatted very passionately and very sincerely about why you should use an ab crunch roller to burn fat off your abs. But it's sincerely wrong from a physiological point of view. But the question then is, from their own personal integrity, do you really think, and I don't know the answer to the question, but do we really think that people are delivering information to us because they want to con us or trick us or take our money? Now, if you're at that kind of conference, what a great idea not to go there again. If you think that somebody's sharing information with you to try and rip you off, take your money, and they're not talking from a place of integrity, then probably you're not a great place to be, perhaps. However, if someone's chatting passionately, which I'm sure we all will, and with sincerity, we could be sincerely wrong. And that's when it goes back to, what am I saying? Have I got the facts right? Have I backed this up with opinion? Am I speaking from a place of integrity, which simply means, have I done my research? Do I have the actual facts, or am I repeating somebody else's opinion? So yes, it's important to be passionate, because otherwise you're boring, one would suggest. Yes, you need to be sincere, because otherwise people think that you're dodgy. However, from an integrity point of view, we can be sincerely and passionately wrong if we haven't checked our facts. So how we say something, and I'll just use another quick example. I went to a conference, a health and fitness conference, and the professor of nutrition from Otago University in Dunedin was talking about food and food... the vitamins and minerals in food. And based on her scientific research, and she was a professor of nutrition at Otago University, one of the most recognized universities in the world on nutrition studies, that we're much better at transporting and storing food than we've ever been. So that, and based on her research, that the fruit and vegetables from New Zealand had more vitamins and minerals now than they did 20 years ago. However, the way she delivered that information was so incredibly boring and so dry and so lacking in passion and almost lacking in sincerity, because it was so boring. The very next lecture was a guy talking about why food has no vitamins and minerals in it anymore, because the soil's depleted and it's not, and the food's really bad for us. And he spoke with such passion and enthusiasm that it was almost like everything that she had said was completely null and void, because she was lacking in passion. So perhaps it's a combination of, yes, I need to be passionately sincere, but I need to be coming from a place of a fact. So just something to consider. We've only got two more to go. This one is really interesting. When is the best time to talk? Now, if you've been asked to do a lecture or do a presentation or do a chat, and it's B&I and it's your turn to stand up and chat, then obviously this is the time you have to stand up and do it. But when it comes to personal conversations and personal relationships and conversation, is this the best time for me to have this? Should I wait until this person is either not as emotional, or they're not as angry, or they're in a different headspace, from they're away from their job? This comes down to employers talking to bosses, or bosses to employers, parents to their children, partners to each other. Is this the right time for me to tell my partner that he's got bad breath, or that he should pull the hair out of his ears, or that she should stop nagging me? It might not be the right time. So it always goes back to, why am I going to open my mouth? Which is number one, I'm about to share this information. Why am I opening my mouth right now? And is there a better time for me to say this? The other thing to be really aware of from a timing point of view is that if you want to chat to groups of people about hot topics, so if it's just been in the news right now about type 2 diabetes or osteoporosis or depression, then this might be the best time to promote for you to have a chat to the general public, because it's really a hot topic at the moment. Versus if there's been something controversial that's happening at the moment, perhaps about multi-level marketing or drugs that have affected people badly, it might not be the time for you to chat, because the world is in too much of an emotional state right now. So always ask yourself, is this the right time for me to be chatting? Is there a better time? Is there a more logical time, or a less emotional time? Or should I wait for a more emotional time? Last but not least, and this is where I've made the most mistakes, and please take a really careful look at, what do I need to do differently so I don't make the same stupid mistakes that Rowie's made? Who am I chatting to is the question. Who am I talking to? Who am I chatting with? What questions am I asking, and who is this person in front of me? So it's easy to assume that this is a group of, for example, school year 9 students. So I can say, okay, they're year 9s, they're 13 to 14-year-olds, they don't have much life experience, that they haven't had much going on in their life. Well, can I assure you that that's not true? There are some 13 and 14-year-olds who have been abused, they've been sexually abused, they've had challenges in their relationships, they've had babies, they've moved countries, they've come from countries that have been war-torn. We can never, ever, ever assume that the people that we're chatting to have a certain intelligence level, or they've done less or more with their lives. So some things to really consider. This group of people that are in front of me right now, if I assume how intelligent they are and the size and the number of their achievements or their life experience, you might think I'm in a church, so obviously there must be people in here who believe in God. Well, that doesn't mean that everybody believes in God. If you're talking to vegetarians about eating meat, if you're talking to people who hate exercise about running a marathon, you're going to annoy some people. You're going to make something awkward that shouldn't be. So go back to what am I going to say and what can I say that isn't going to offend anybody. So be really careful that people have a right to their conviction and belief and opinions about politics, religion, God, sexual persuasion, the way they eat, the way they exercise, the way they bring up their kids, the way they run their business, their wealth creation plan. One of the big challenges I got into was when we were on the BRW Young Rich List, I was really proud of my achievements that at under 40 years of age, I had become one of the richest people in Australia under the age of 40. But for some people, that's really offensive, because for some people, having money is offensive. So it's not about, oh, look what I did. It's about, what did I do with? How did I make a difference with? So I'm asking you to be really careful of, and I'll use another example. If you go into a conversation at a party or a social event or a barbecue, and there's a group of people that you don't know, and you might talk about your sport, or you might talk about the places that you visited, or the restaurants that you like to go to, or the movies that you like to watch, or the politicians that you don't like. So a hot topic at the moment is often in a group, you can say, oh, I hate Donald Trump, or Donald Trump's an idiot. Well, please be aware, very aware, that out of the 300 odd million people that live in America, the man is the president of the United States of America, which means there are people that voted for him. And you can walk into a conversation and assume that everybody hates Donald Trump, but you don't know that his business manager is in that conversation, or his daughter, or his friends, or somebody that really admires and respects him, and you'll offend them straight away. If you go into a conversation and you might be a religious person and you have a challenge with a certain kind of sexual persuasion, you could turn off people in that group really quickly just because you said some statement. And I've done this so many times in my life. So what I'm asking you to do, please, from my heart to yours, is when you go into any conversation, never assume. What you do want to have a look at is this great tool called assumed knowledge. So the only thing you're going to assume is that this group of people has lived, which is not an assumption because they're obviously standing in front of you, they're alive. So you're going to assume that they already know everything you're going to say, they've achieved more than you have, they've done more than you have, they know more than you do. And the reason I'm asking you to assume that is because you actually never know. Unless this is one person that you're chatting to, but I'm going to use one person as an example. I've lived with K-Man now. We've been married for 20 years. We've known each other for 20 plus years. And every single day, pretty much without fail, he will share something with me that I've never heard before. An achievement, a person he's met, a book that he's read, a place that he's been to. And I don't know that about him. It's a new thing that I've learned. So I could assume that I know everything about him and then give him information, but I never do that. I place this tool called assumed knowledge, and I preframe everything with, as you already know, as you have already experienced, as you have already done. Now, there's two cool things about that statement. Number one is that if I assume that you already know this, and you do, then I'm being really respectful of you. So if I assume that you've already chatted to 10,000 people, and I say, as you would already know, having chatted to large groups of people, you'll say, yes, I have, and you'll feel really comfortable because I've given you respect for what you've already done. If you haven't, but I assume that you have, then you're going to want to prove me right. So I'll give you another great example. If you're chatting to a group of people about health and fitness and you say something like this, as you already know, it's really simple to be healthy, fit and strong, and I'm going to give you the 5 tips to be able to do that, but they're things that you already know. Now, one of two things. If people are going to say, yes, I've heard Rowie chat before and I know what she's going to say and I'm excited to hear it again, versus I don't know what she's going to say, but I want to get all of those points because she thinks I already know them. Now, this is not about anything else except giving people respect for living their life, for being on the planet. And I do it with small children. Obviously a 5-year-old hasn't run a business, but I'll say something like this if I'm chatting to 5-year-olds. So as you know, when you grow up, you're going to have a career that you love. So I'm treating them as adults. I'm treating them as people who can already think for themselves. And I'm treating them with the assumed knowledge that they're going to have a career that they love. So if you put that into practice as a tool, put it in your toolbox, that you never offend anybody, what you're going to say is going to be things that people don't disagree with. And as you've all heard me share before, if I'm going to go and chat to cardiologists and orthopedic surgeons and general practitioners and personal trainers and nutritionists, for example, I always pick 3 to 5 things that they're not going to argue with me about. Because if I'm chatting about any form of exercise and I talk about a controversial topic, I'm going to turn people off really quickly and they're going to want to argue with me. So if I can pick 3 to 5 things that they're not going to argue about that we can all agree on, then is it more likely that we're going to make a difference in the world? And if I include then that I'm not going to offend anybody by talking about the things that I think I've done and they haven't done, and or I'm not going to offend them by getting into those controversial topics. And I'll just give you a quick example of we had a conversation just recently in a group of people, and the comment was made that you can't put on muscle size if you're a vegan vegetarian. And there were 2 people in that group that were vegan vegetarians, and they got really offended because one of them was trying to put on muscle size and one had put on a large amount of muscle size. Now, the flip side of that is I had just met a guy who was 105 kilos, about 5% body fat, and in great shape, ready to compete, and he was a vegan vegetarian. So your opinion might be that you can't put on muscle size if you're a vegan vegetarian, but be aware that if you start sprouting that information and if you put that into a question, which goes a bit more like this. So in this group, who's got an opinion about what you need to eat to put on muscle size? Now you've got a different conversation happening and you've got communication happening versus just straight out statements. So there's some great tools to put in your toolbox. The last but not least is that there are plenty of people who've got stuff to say, and there's plenty of people who'll share with you the same information that I have tonight about how to have a great chat with people. There'll be plenty of people talking about health and fitness, plenty of people talking about exercise, plenty of people talking about politics and religion and all the topics. But ultimately, the question that perhaps we could ask ourselves is, what's going to make me unique and different and memorable from everybody else? So if you are about to, and this is just, again, some tools to put in your toolbox, if you're about to use a story about Michael Jordan, check up on the facts and perhaps don't use Michael Jordan because everybody else does. Maybe find a different story or a different example or a different person. What's going to make you stand out, be unique and different from everybody else? There are a lot of people who use those standard comments like a rolling stone gathers no moss, or get out of the frying pan into the fire, or the devil is in the detail. Well, those statements are statements that everybody makes. So why not come up with your own? If you want people to remember what you say, come up with different stories and different analogies, and perhaps spend a bit of time with the K-man, because I've never met anybody who can come up with analogies so quickly and he creates them to be different to all the other analogies that are out there. So a very cool thing to consider is, how am I going to be unique and different to everybody else? What am I going to say? It might be that you're saying the same thing, but how am I going to say it differently? And to finish off with, please ask the question again, am I adding value? How am I adding value? And what am I going to do to make people feel good? Now, if you're having a look at the screen here, this is a picture of a person that perhaps most of you who are perhaps under 40 don't know who this is. This is Barbara Streisand, considered in my age group one of the most powerful singers, female singers to ever been on the planet, somebody with a very recognizable voice. And I want to share with you a very unique story about practice planning and preparing will prepare you for a powerful performance. I'll say that again. Practice planning and preparing will prepare you for a powerful performance. Had the privilege of, it was announced that she was going to be doing a concert in Melbourne. And I think it was at the Etihad Stadium, which is about maybe 8,000 to 10,000 people. Please don't quote me on the numbers. And as one of the most professional singers in the world, she's been singing for over 30 years, sold millions and millions and millions of records. She closed down the Etihad Stadium for the entire day and she went through her concert, and the number is argued about, but she went through her concert somewhere between 5 to 8 times, the entire concert from start to finish in the stadium, because she was practicing, planning and preparing to prepare for a powerful performance. Obviously, when the reviews came out of the concert reviews came out the next day, it was shared that it was an absolutely perfect performance, that everything sounded exactly like it did on the CD and it was magical. And obviously she wasn't miming because she was talking to the crowd at the same time. I'm sharing that with you that the best in the world, the very best at what they do, will always practice, plan and prepare. Regardless of how good they are, they still practice, plan and prepare. If you want to have a powerful performance, and as I shared with some of you just recently at the workshop, from a communication point of view, if there was a master's degree to be had in the study of communication, I would have that master's degree. I study communication every single day. I'm aiming to get better every single day, and I will share with you happily and openly that I'm really not very good at it. Even though I practice every single day and I analyze every conversation after I've had it, I'm still learning every single day, and I still realize how much I've got to learn. And I think that's the quote for the evening, is that the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. I'll say that again. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, which means you then want to learn more. And then you realize you know less. So you learn more and you know less. And it becomes an upward spiral of constantly learning. So if you can place in your toolbox this evening, I'm going to practice, plan and prepare so I can prepare for a powerful performance, do you think that will add value to your toolbox? And very special to finish the evening, is it important to be interesting or interested? And most of us think that if we stand up in front of a group of people, we need to be interesting. We need to tell great stories and be awesome at speaking, and we need to preach and evangelize and be amazing. But when people walk away from us, ultimately we want them to feel like we've been genuinely interested in them. So it doesn't matter how interesting we are, it's that we were interested in them. So to wrap all of that up, what I would love is for each one of you, if you want to be really good at sharing what you believe in, what you're passionate about with other people, then I would love to go through this process with you one-on-one. I was given the absolute privilege on a regular basis of being given great feed forward from some of the best people in the world on how to be good at communicating. And that's because they took the time and were genuinely interested in me. And I would like to pass that on as a special gift. So tonight I've given you some tools. I've given you some things that you can put in your toolbox straight away. What you do with those tools is completely up to you. But most importantly, if you want to be really good at communicating, and I'm not, I've just been given some great tools, I'd love to go through this process together. We could learn some stuff together.